I have five newspapers here. Five. I didn't pick out the worst five from the last 6 months. I didn't collect clippings from the last 3 weeks or Google for the last 2 years. This is just the last 5 days. The last 5 days. Wednesday. There is a politician who's been abusing his power. That's not the way to lead. We read about what's going on in Missouri where police have turned it into military forces to stop the violence. That's not the way to respond. In Frisco, a teen is kept in custody because he killed his parents. That's not the way the kids should act. Thursday, the siege is still going on in Iraq. Christians are being beheaded all over the world because of their belief. That's not the way the world is supposed to be. A teenager ran away from home and was caught living in a Walmart. Kids are not supposed to be running away from home, and families aren't supposed to look like that. The UN counted the death toll now in Ukraine as over 2,000. That's not the way the world's supposed to be. Friday. Friday's paper says that the scores plunge in a Dallas Independent School District school because the teachers had been cheating. That's not the way to teach our kids. Dallas is having to create a special task force to invest all the police shootings of people that don't have guns in their hands. That's not the way to lead people. Saturday, another politician indicted because of abuse of power. That's not the way to lead. In Dallas, another politician is in trouble because he's hidden a car wreck by taking some slush funds and paying off a guy. That's not a way to lead. And Sunday is just a summary of all those reports. The world is going in all the wrong directions. Which way should they go? Which way will they run? All the wrong directions, all the wrong way. And you've been there in the car with your kids, right? You're going over the hill and you see the traffic slow to a stop, a standstill. Up ahead, a mile ahead, all the blinking lights. When you finally crawl through the traffic, you get there with your kids and you tell them, this is not the way to drive, because that is what happens. What's the way to go? Our world is going in the wrong direction, and our kids get influence from all over the world, and yet somehow we are called by God to teach our kids the way to go. Proverbs 22:6, we know that verse. It's the most famous proverb. It's so quoted, and we love it and we hate it. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. This morning, we're going to look at what does it mean? What is the way that they should go? And then we're going to look at how do we train our kids to do that? What is the way of all the ways kids could go? What is the way that they should go? And how do we train our kids to do that? If you would, open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. We've been looking this summer at a series on the wisdom literature. And we've read from Proverbs. We've read some in Ecclesiastes. Next week, Steve's taking us to Job. We're looking at all these different instances in the Bible, specifically in the wisdom literature, where we're given ideas about wisdom, ideas about how to live, ideas about how to live in this chaotic world, but according to what God says. And the first question we ask when we think about raising our kids is, which way should they go? And the answer to that is pretty simple. Teach them that the way of wisdom is the path to righteousness. The way of wisdom is the path to righteousness. Now, I don't have to really talk about this a lot because we've been hearing sermon after sermon on the way of wisdom this summer. I'm going to review with you a little bit. So Nathan Fowler talked to us about the way to walk. Remember that sermon? He talked about, he read from Proverbs 5 where it says, why should we use wisdom in relationships, right? Keep your way far from evil, personified in this adulterous woman. That's the way to walk. It says, do not go near the door of her house. What's the way we should walk in the way towards wisdom? Well, we should walk away from evil. What about the way to play? Now, this was a beautiful sermon that Steve put together about how to enjoy life, how to enjoy the things God's provided, right? We want our kids to know the right way, so we teach them how to walk and we teach them how to play. Steve covered in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 there. He talked about how to enjoy the way God has blessed us today. Enjoy those things now. And then how to talk. Chris led us through a sermon on how to talk. You remember that? And I'm going to quote the philosopher that said, "I pity the fool that doesn't guard his lips." You remember that? That's what Chris talked about, right? A fool does not guard his lips. And we tell our kids, that's the way you should talk. That's the way you should walk. And this is the way you should play. And then Vince took us and taught us out of all the way to give, right? He took us through that sermon on Proverbs 13 about a guy pretends to be rich, a guy pretends to be poor. But the purpose of this is so that we guard and use wisdom and our wealth to glorify the Lord. And then last week, Steve again taught us the way to work. You know, when you think about all the different ways to live your life, we're pointing our kids down this path of the way of wisdom is the path to righteousness. And last week, Steve covered about work, right? Some people are lazy. He talked about the sluggard. And in that proverb, in Proverb 21, it says, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. That's the way of wisdom for someone that's righteous. They work and they work and they work and they give because that honors the Lord. What is the way we should lead our kids? What way do they want to go? What way should we teach them to go? And that way is the way of wisdom. Now, the entirety of Scripture talks about this, right? Cover to cover. Our need for a Savior. And the world, if we close this and we open the paper, is going to lead us astray. But God's word tells us that the way of wisdom is the path to righteousness. Now, I can tell you that the Bible covers more than just that. It also talks the pursuit of holiness. It also talks about how we should run from evil. I can't tell you how many times the book of Proverbs says, stay away from the fool, right? Don't do business with a fool. You can't argue with a fool. Don't play games with a fool. When you see a fool, run the other way. And one of my favorite parts in Proverbs is chapter 9, verse 10, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You remember that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. When we think about what way our kids should go, all of that way should point them to Him. All of the way that our kids should go should point them to Him. The way that they talk, the way that they have disagreements with each other and work that out, the way that they share, the way that they play, the way that they raise their family one day, all of that should lead to Him. That is the way they should go. But then how do we train that? Train up a child in the way they should go. You know, that's the hard part, training kids, because I have four of them. And honestly, after the first few, it took us a while to figure out how we kept getting pregnant. And then after three and four, they were like experiments. And then we said, okay, no more. Let's figure this thing out, right? How are we going to focus our time on raising and training these children in the way they should go? And some of you are looking to me hoping I have this sage wisdom advice, and I don't. My daughter the other day said, Daddy, you've got gray eyebrows now. And yes, but that does not mean I have sage wisdom in raising kids. In fact, I'm hoping to tag team and somebody else will come up here and talk to you about how to train your kids. Because it's a hard thing. And if you've never trained before, the first thing you need to recognize if you've never trained before is that you have to be careful or you're going to get hurt. So before we talk about how to train your kids, we're going to do a pre-workout stretch, okay? Because you don't want to pop anything or break anything, right? And you can tell I've not been doing too much working out here. So we need to do a little training and stretching before we get there. Now, before you work out, before you train your kids, there's some things that you need to understand. One is you can't teach wisdom if you don't know wisdom. You can't teach the way of wisdom if you're not walking it yourself. In fact, you will never get the results of wisdom without the practice of wisdom. You will never get the results of wisdom without the practice of wisdom. You need to know that before you start to try to train your kids. You need to be practicing this in your own life. You know, you need to acknowledge the ways of the fool. Sometimes it's important to point out bad stuff that's happening in the world. Sometimes we like to shield our kids' eyes and cover their ears and turn the news off and turn that webpage away because we don't want them to read about the horrors happening in the world today. But sometimes to acknowledge the way of the fool highlights the path of the wise. We like to recognize that there are mistakes in this life. There are consequences. One of my friends at work says, you know, you can choose the sin, but you can't choose the consequence. There are consequences to foolishness. But before we talk about how to train our kids, we also need to purge any foolishness in our life. Sometimes you need to clean the house. When you go start a diet, the first thing you need to do is empty your fridge and your pantry out of all the junk food. So let's talk about that for a second. We need to admit as parents that we don't have a clue what we're doing. And it's okay. Do you remember that moment when you first got a kid? For those of you who have kids, I can remember that moment. This is what it looked like. They had just wheeled out my wife in the wheelchair from the hospital so she could get in the car. And I don't know why. She wanted to walk, but they told her she had to get in the wheelchair. And then I had just put the baby carriage in the car. It took me like an hour to figure out how to put that car seat in there the first time, right? Backwards facing, not forwards facing. And then I go around and I get in the car in the driver's seat like this. And they close the door and we're about to leave the hospital. Did they have a clue who they just gave a baby to? I mean, I can go online and I can download the manual for my microwave. I can get the schematics for my dishwasher. But there's no manual that came with this baby. Did they have a clue? We don't have a clue what we're doing. Our oldest is 14 and we still don't know what we're doing. As parents, we need to admit that we don't know what we're doing. And sometimes the reason that we don't like this Bible verse is because we feel that we have already misguided our children in such the wrong direction that they'll never be repaired. Do you feel like that? If you're supposed to train up their child in the way they should go, and you look at all the lessons you've taught your kids, and you scratch your head and go, man, I've really taught them the wrong way to go. Another reason why people don't like this verse is they feel that their kids' failure will be their fault. You ever feel like that? Especially for those of you with grown children, and you taught them the way, and they took a right turn, you feel like their failure could be your fault. I work with the homeless, thousands of homeless people in Dallas, thousands of them. They're strung out on heroin and crack and meth, they're addicts to sex and everything else in life. Many of their lives are completely broken and destroyed. But I can tell you this, every homeless person is not an example of a bad parent. Every homeless person in Dallas and in every city around the world is not an example of bad parenting. This is not because some parent taught their kid the wrong way. It isn't because their parents never taught them the right way. It's because kids grow up and they make choices. And sometimes those choices are the wrong way. We need to recognize that failure that we may see in our kids is not our fault. We also need to apologize when we mess up. Let's be honest, we've messed up as parents. We've messed up. We've said things in front of our kids that we can't take back. There is no karma with child raising, right? You were an absolute jerk one day, so you're going to get them a snow cone the next day. That doesn't work. You're going to make up with a family vacation to Disney for years of you being a poor, horrible parent. That doesn't work. There is no karma in parenting. And before we get to how to train your kids, when we're talking about this pre-workout exercise, we need to recognize that sometimes we need to apologize. Dads are not as involved as they should be in the raising of their kids. Part of that is by nature. I spend more time at my office in my job than I do parenting my children. And I have to because I love them and I want to provide for them. But somewhere has to be a middle ground. Somewhere I have to say, I don't have to work that much. I don't have to take all those speaking engagements. I don't have to run that far. Because the last thing I ever want my kids to ever tell me is that I was chasing after homeless guys and ignoring them. Ever. That thought terrifies me. Sometimes we need to apologize. Moms don't get the credit that they deserve. You know, dads get home and they complain. I get home and I've been that guy, that jerk that has said, you know, why is there clothes on the floor and why is the dinner not made and why are the kids still in their pajamas? And, you know, sometimes as moms, I know your goal at the end of the day is to not end up on Jerry Springer. Let's be honest. You don't want to have the news crew out in front of your house because you killed your kids because they gave you lip that last time. I know that that is a challenge. And as a dad, I don't understand what it means to be a mom. My wife has been gone for a day or sometimes even a week on a trip somewhere, and I've watched the kids, but I still am not a mom, and I need to apologize when I have been a jerk. But back on the things I've said in front of my kids, I can't take those back. I have said things in front of my kids that I cannot take back. I have said things to my wife that I never should say to my wife in front of my kids. And I can't take either of those back. And as a parent, before I start to train, I might need to apologize. I might need to recognize that I've made some mistakes along the way. But this gives us hope because there's always today and there's always tomorrow. I also need to abolish any foolishness in my life. Some of you have foolishness in your life. You're trying to teach this way of wisdom while you keep dancing in a puddle of foolishness. You can't do that. You don't get it both ways. Some things you need to abolish is some of you need to stop watching some of the junk in your house on TV. Some of you need to set the parental controls on your DVR and let your wife put in the passcode because some of the things you watch are not honoring to your family. If you have to watch a show and pause it when your kids walk in the room, you probably should not be watching it at all. Some of you need to put controls on your TV. Some of you need to put controls on your internet. If you are looking at things that you have to turn off on the screen when your kids walk in the room, you are playing in a game of foolishness while trying to teach your kids a path of wisdom. And that's as hypocritical as it sounds. Some of us need to abolish the ways of foolishness in our house. Some of us need to learn how to speak without disrespecting. Who gave you the right to talk to your family like that? You would never let another man talk to your wife the way you just did. And your kids heard it. And when your kid walks up to you one day and says, "Daddy, you need to apologize to mommy," it should break your heart. It should break your heart. Your kids hear the way you talk. Your kids hear the way you talk about your spouse to other people. And you are modeling to them the path of foolishness when you should be showing them the way of righteousness, the way of wisdom. The notion of me time. Can I talk about that for a second? I hear this all the time. People saying, "I need some me time," right? I just need to get away and have a day at the spa. I need to get away and have a day at the golf course. I need to get away and have a day with my friends. You will not be able to define or defend me time anywhere in here. You gave up the right to me time when you put on that ring. You gave up the right to me time when you had each one of those children. You do not get that anymore. Now, God may provide an opportunity in your family and your spouse and your kids may carve out some time for you to go play. But how dare you demand me time? They don't demand that. They don't get it. So who gives you the right to play that game? Me time is made by the world. It is the wrong way. It is the way that says my needs and my selfishness surpasses my role of being a parent. And that is wrong. That is the way of foolishness. And we're teaching our kids the way of wisdom. You know, sometimes kids run in the opposite direction. You ever done that with your kids? You're walking down the road, you're holding their hand, and they run out in front of a car. You're walking in a parking lot, and your kid runs the opposite direction. You're going down the aisle at Walmart, and they run off. And before long, you're looking for them. You don't know where they go. Another reason some people don't like this Bible verse is because they think it gives guaranteed results. If you've turned in your Bible to the book of Proverbs, I want you to look at the top of the page. The word that starts with a P is not promises. It's Proverbs. These are principles we use and we guide our life by, trusting the Lord for the results. But we know the enemy is alive and he is active. And the enemy is kicking our kids. He is aiming at our kids. He is shooting our kids. He's trying to destroy our family. And even though we teach our kids the right way to go, the enemy is active in their lives as well. We don't like this verse sometimes because we don't get guaranteed results. And sometimes we don't like not knowing what's going to happen. We don't like not knowing what we did wrong. Some of us have grown children and we look back and thought, man, I could have done that better. I could have spent more time with them. Well, now is a time and the hope for you to regain the time that was lost. We have hope. And this, the Lord gives us hope that we have an opportunity to be involved in the raising of the next generation. We have hope that we get an opportunity to point them in the way they should go, to train them how to go that way, and to model that in our own lives. But emergencies happen. Emergencies happen in a very bad way. Sometimes you train your kid in the way they should go, and they're off chasing the world. Maybe they're pursuing an alternative lifestyle. Maybe they come home and their life is wrecked. Maybe your kid needs to go to rehab. Or maybe some medical situation happened to your kid that's out of your control. That's not the plan. That's not the way I wanted it to go. We need to trust the Lord and be ready for that emergency and ready to run to them when they need our help. It's amazing to me that if your mother had hip replacement, you may take a week off of work to go help her. If you had a water leak at your home, you take a couple days off. If you're industrious, you're going to do the job yourself. But when your kid has an emergency, why don't we take the same amount of time off to fix them as we would our home? You are not that important. And what you do is not that important, that you can't take time off of work. You can't clear your schedule. You can't skip that meeting. You are not that important. Don't think so highly of yourself that you shouldn't stop, drop, and run to your kids when they need you. At any age, at any time, at almost any need. Some days in the middle of the day, my kids need to hear my voice. And sometimes I'm busy and I can't take those calls. But I need to return those calls later when I'm out of a meeting. I need to make time for my kids so I can see and appreciate the little things they drew, the stories they want to tell me, the excitement in their eyes. I need to experience that. But I also need to be ready to run when there's an emergency. How to train your child. You know, this verse says, train up a child in the way he should go. Notice it doesn't say train up your child. This verse is not merely focused on the parental role here, but it's the role that every single one of us has in the raising of children. When you walk down the aisle here, the hall at Centerpoint, and you see a kid with a donut stuck on each finger, it is your role to be involved in training up that children and say, that's not the way. When you see a kid running down the aisle and he's going to knock somebody over, please, if it's my kid, stop them and tell them, don't walk that way in here. We don't run in here. You have my permission. We are a community of people raising up children, and we need each other's help. For those that don't have kids and those that can't have kids and those that won't have kids, we're all involved in this together of raising up a child. And we agree that the way they should go is the way of wisdom. That is the path to righteousness. But how do we train up our kids? What's the secret? How do we train them? I've broken this up into three little simple lines that I think will be easier for you to remember. The first thing we need to do when we train up our kids is we need to know that we need to devote time to discipling our children. We need to devote time to discipling our children. When you're training your kids, when you're pointing them on the way, it's not like teaching them to tie their shoes or how to ride a bike or one day to drive. This is discipling your children. This is about raising up your kids to love and fear and pursue the Lord, and that one day they will teach others to do the same. We are discipling our kids, and it takes time. In Deuteronomy 6, I want to read this verse to you, 6:6, it says this. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. How do you teach your kids the ways of the Lord if you don't spend time with them teaching them the ways of the Lord? I'm not talking about spending time fishing. I'm not talking about spending time riding bikes. I'm not talking about spending time walking down the street. I'm talking about using fishing and using riding bikes and using walking down the street to bind the things of the word of the Lord on their hearts. Use every one of those moments devoting time to that, which is most important. For some of you, you need to start planning some family meals. Some of you have family meals. Some of you don't. If you don't feel guilty. Just do it. It's okay. For some of you, it's hard to do family meals because your work schedule is a little wonky. And that's okay. Sometimes you might have to get up early and have an early morning breakfast. Or stay up late and have a family meal together at dinner time. But family meals are very important. For others, I believe every family should have a family Bible study. Everyone. That's my personal conviction. We have a family Bible study. If you've never done it before, it's a little awkward the first time. Your kids are like, what are you talking about? We've never done this before. But that's okay. It's okay. You know, as a parent, it's okay to be awkward. It's okay to be weird. I have a degree in those things. And it's okay. And if one day your kid tells you that you're the meanest parent in the whole world, that's okay. Join the club. I'd rather be the meanest, weirdest, most awkward parent in the world that taught my kids the way. And train them to follow that way. Bring your kids together for a family Bible study. If you've never done it before, here's how it works. You sit down and you open up God's word together. Where do you go? I suggest you start in the book of Mark. I love the book of Mark. You can take a section at a time with your kids and count the many ways each week, just one section at a time, the ways that Jesus' authority is visible. You see his authority when he speaks and when he heals and when he touches. He's able to create matter out of thin air. He's got authority over the wind and the waves and to forgive sins and to cast out demons. And you as your kids together will sit and read these words and you'll talk about what it means to you. And they'll talk about what it means to them. And you as a family will grow closer together and closer to the Lord by spending time together going through his word. But it requires devoting time. Another way is I like to take my kids to breakfast. Now, this isn't for everybody, but I've been doing this for years. Monday morning at every business is important. Monday morning, you got a stack of emails. I got lots of voicemails. I got people that want to meet with me. But every morning, Monday morning, my schedule is booked from now until my kids are gone. Because every Monday morning, I take one of my kids to breakfast. This week is Logan's week. We're going to go to breakfast Monday morning. We've been going to the same restaurant for years. The staff at that restaurant put a little plaque where we sit, says Walker family. And they know that every week I take one of my kids there. Because I have to have time with them, devote time with them to teach them the way. I can't just hope it falls off. They're going to show up in an event and hear me speak and they'll get it. That's not how this works. You're going to take your kids to church and hope that our church youth pastor leads them. That's not how it works. You are the parent. And the church's role is to come beside you and equip you and to build off what you're already doing at home. But it is your sole responsibility to disciple your children, and it takes time. You know, when you spend time with your kids, would you please put your phone away? Would you please put your phone away? Again, you are not that important. That a text or a tweet or an Instagram or a Facebook is more important than snuggling with your kid on the couch watching a movie. You are not that important. Please put your gadget away. And would you show your kids how to read a paper Bible too? Show them how to read a paper Bible. They still work. I don't have to replace batteries in here. I don't have to make it charged. And if I misplace this Bible, I've got another one. I'm not going to freak out like I lost my phone. Show them how to use a paper Bible. Why? Because I don't get text in the middle of this. I don't get tweets when I'm going through God's word. I don't get distracted by a game I need to get to the next level on. I promise you, if you ignore your kids with your phone, they will return the favor. Would you please devote time with them and put your gadgets away? In Deuteronomy 4, we read this. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord at Horeb, and when he said, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my word, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children.'" We have seen the Lord do some amazing things in our lives, not just so we can be filled and edified, but so that we can teach that to others. And it takes time. You have to devote time to train your kids. You also need to develop talents focused on discipleship. Now, all of us want to teach our kids talents, right? We want to teach them how to hit a fastball. We want to teach them how to sink a free throw. We want to teach our kids how to hit a good golf swing. And those things are important. But isn't it more important that we teach them talents related to their discipleship? What about the talent of discernment? We want our kids to be discerning. We discipline them when they're not. How much time do we devote to that talent? How much time do we devote to them when we want them to learn how to be discerning? Do we teach that to them? What about the source of wisdom? Where are they going to look for answers when they get older? Because they're going to get answers from everybody. And most of those answers are just as screwy then as they are now. They need to be focused on the way of the wise. They need to know the source of wisdom. And we need to teach them to love God's word, to pursue God's word, how to read God's word, how to understand God's word. This is a talent that we need to fix in our children's eyes. What about how to make decisions without you? You ever told your kid to do something? Clean your room. You walk outside the door, and you know what they're going to do. The younger they are, the worse ability they have of making the wise decision without you in the room, right? Clean your room. You walk out the door. 10 minutes later, you peek your head around there, and they're playing with the Legos and doing what they're not supposed to do. And we want to teach our children how to make wise decisions. We want to develop that talent for when we're not in the room. And let me tell you why. Because you're not in the room most of the time. And the older your child gets, the more decisions they'll make without you in the room. And the more those decisions will impact them for the rest of their lives. You need to develop that talent in your children of how to make decisions without you in the room. You also need to develop the talent of self-control. Now, self-control, we call that a fruit, but we also call that a talent. You know, we want our kids to be able to shoot a free throw. Nobody's family gets destroyed because they can't shoot a free throw. We want our kids to know how to swing a golf club. Nobody loses their job in their ministry and spends the rest of their life behind bars because of a golf swing. It's because of self-control. And we need to learn how to love self-control and teach that talent in our children. Don't we all discipline kids when they don't exercise self-control? We all do that. But do we teach them how to develop self-control in their life? We need to develop that in their life. What about serving others? You know, we talk about serving others. We preach about serving others. And some of us work for jobs where we serve others. But do your kids ever actually see you serving others? For those of you in ministry, I think it's a little bit more difficult. Because you're serving others in your job, your kids need to see you serving others when you're not at your job. You'd expect someone that worked at Walmart to serve others when they clock out. Why don't they see you do the same? We need to dedicate time. We need to develop talent. What about treasure? How much does it cost to take a family on a vacation? Some of you shake your heads because you don't go on family vacations because of how much it costs. You know that it takes a lot of time to raise your kids. You want to devote that. You know what? You have to develop the talents, but to dedicate the treasure that's required to do this. How do you dedicate treasure? Maybe you take the amount of money that you're going to spend on a family vacation, and instead of going to SeaWorld or Six Flags or Disney, you take your kids on a mission trip. You take the same amount of money, but you use it to train your kids in the way they should go. A few years ago, Carolyn and I went to Disney on our own without the kids. And I remember we got this little plaque, and I had it in my office for the longest time. It said, "The greatest celebration on earth. Disney." If we train our kids that that's the greatest celebration on earth, That is a failure. We need to train our kids that the greatest celebration on earth is Christ alone. When we stand before him on the throne and he looks at us and says, that one's with me. And we get to enter into the presence of the Lord because of what Christ has done. That will be the greatest celebration. That's what we need to teach our kids. We need to dedicate treasure. Do you value the treasure of your kids' academics and your kids' athletic prowess above their time at church and ministry? Do you treasure their academic achievements above their involvement in ministry? If they do, and you do, is that the right priority? What about treasuring the way they handle money? Now, what we give financially is nobody's business between us and the Lord, right? We don't want people to know how much we wrote that check for. But our kids need to be brought into that conversation at some point. Our kids need to know that God gives us this much, and we give the first chunk of it to the Lord. That we love him, so we give. God has blessed us with these resources so that we give. And our treasure is not so we can get a bigger TV or get a bigger house so we can buy more and more and more. But God blesses us so we can give. And we need to not only know what that treasure looks like, but teach our kids how to treasure what God's given. Bring your kids into those conversations. Let them know who you support financially. Let them understand why you invest in these ministries. What about the church community? Do you really treasure the church community? Do you teach your kids to treasure the church community? If you teach your kids to treasure the church community, but you're not involved in a Sunday school, or you don't go to a community group, a small group, you need to ask yourself, am I really teaching my kids to treasure the community? Now, Sunday school isn't for everybody, and small groups aren't for everybody. But if you teach your kids to treasure the community of the body of Christ, they need to see you actively involved in the body of Christ, more than just Sunday mornings. If you treasure that, if you treasure this place, and you treasure your relationships here, you need to model that for your kids. Now, for people in ministry, we get so busy serving other people that we forget to serve other people. I love the quote that says that sometimes we can sacrifice our family on the altar of ministry. You've always heard of preacher's kids, right? I was at a coffee shop the other day and the barista was filling my order and she had tattoos all up and down both arms. And across her neck, she had a big tattoo that said, salvation. That's kind of cool. That's not what you'd expect across a neck tattoo. And she said, she's a preacher's kid. And I said, man, you're a preacher's kid and you got that many tats. How many times have you been in rehab? And she laughed and she said, three. There is truth that preachers' kids, people in ministry, their kids often get ignored. They often get the leftovers. Because we fail in ministry often when we teach our kids that our ministry is a bigger priority than our family. Now, we have a job to do, and it's not an 8-to-5 job. And sometimes we can sacrifice the ministry on the altar of family, just like we can sacrifice the family on the altar of ministry. And it's not going to be 8-to-5. We have to stay late sometimes. Sometimes we have to go early. But our priority is not our ministry. It's our family. It's the lives that are impacted. And your job and your ministry is not more important than your kids. You should feel honored to step away from a time, to step back for a time, to take a sabbatical, a leave, to pursue your family with the Lord. That is much more important than anything you're doing in ministry. It is a top, top priority. You know, when we think about this way that our kids can go, there are so many different influences in their life. They're getting tweets. They're getting hashtagged to death. They're getting Facebooked. They're getting Instagrammed and Snapchatted. And then everybody in town wants to tell them what way they should go. I love that old statement that says, it takes a village to raise a child. But you know, if we let the village raise our child, we'll end up with the village idiot. You know that? If we let the village raise our child, we will end up with the absolute village idiot. It is our sole responsibility. It is our job to not only know the way they should go, but train that to them. Now, when you leave here today, you may have to go sit with your kids and have a conversation. I know I will, and that's okay. For some of you that don't have kids and won't have kids and can't have kids, you need to have a conversation of how you can be involved in training up children in the way they should go. We are all involved with this in this church. You know, we need to take control. We need to take the reins because they are our kids. This is our church. And when we dedicate a kid, remember that time we stand up here with kids, one of them's picking his nose, there's a picture of him on the screen, and we dedicate those children, to the Lord. And we as a church body say, we will dedicate our lives to helping you raise that kid in the way he should go. And as a body, we need to be devoted to training them to do that, to raising up these kids in the way they should go. You can't do that unless you know the way, and the way to go is the way of wisdom. But knowing it is only half the battle. We need to be willing to train our kids one day at a time by devoting our time, our talent, and our treasure. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for what you have done in our lives, and we praise you that you give us second chances. You give us an opportunity to come to you, to come to our kids, and recognize that maybe the way we did yesterday, maybe the parenting practices of last year are not the best way. Lord, give us the wisdom and the direction and the discernment ourselves as we seek your way in our lives, and we apply this by training our kids in the way they should go. We praise you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.